What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 287, episode 287 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, we're going to get into a little bit of some March Madness. We're going to talk about some March Madness. We're going to talk about the Final Four matchups that have been put on display. I'm going to give my predictions for the Final Four as well. I'm going to also dive into some baseball talk. Baseball season starts this week. So, of course, you know, I got to speak about my Yankees. I'm going to speak a little bit about other teams as well. But, you know, diehard, loyal Yankee fan. So, I definitely have to speak on my Yanks. You feel me? I'm also going to do some NBA talk. The Basketball Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame was just announced. Well, at least I guess you could say the five headliners have been announced. So I'm going to congratulate them at the end of this episode. But since we're already talking about it, let's dive into it. March Madness is still going, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be perfectly honest when I say this, and quite frankly, I really don't care how anybody feels about it, but I think this March Madness, but again, I mean, I know they can't do it because the dates have already been in play, the dates have already been announced, but I will say this though. This is the first time that I can remember that a woman's Final Four is more intriguing and more anticipated than a men's Final Four. Hear me out. The Final Four for the men, you have FAU. Congratulations to them, by the way. You know, I don't even want to, you know, undercut what they have done in this NCAA tournament, because obviously this is the beauty of March Madness. You have teams that you wouldn't even expect to make the Final Four, let alone an Elite Eight, let alone a Sweet 16, to have a team from Florida, I think it's called Florida Athletics University. Hopefully I'm not muffling their name, but you get what I'm saying. The point is that nobody expected them to make the Final Four. And for them to have made it, nothing but amazing. Okay. San Diego State, did anybody expect them to make the Final Four? I don't think so. But I will shout out Brian Dutcher, who is the head coach of San Diego State University. And the reason why I'm shouting him up is because he was an assistant coach for those Michigan Fab Five teams in the early 90s. That tells you how far back I go with college basketball to even know who he is, okay? Shout out to the U, the University of Miami. Now, we knew that the University of Miami was very much a very profitable team for the playoffs. I mean, for March Madness. We knew they would do some damage, but I don't think anybody expected them to make the Final Four. And they did. UConn. Now, when you think of the blue-collar schools, you think of North Carolina. You think of Duke. You think of Kansas. You think of Kentucky. You think of UCLA. You think of UConn. They're the only team out of all of those blue-collar schools that have made the Final Four this year. Now, out of all those teams that I just mentioned, you look at this and you say to yourself, this is the national championship for UConn. This has UConn's name written all over it. It actually does. It has UConn's name written all over it. They have been the most impressive team throughout the whole tournament. They're playing amazing defense. And they have the most momentum. Everybody right now, the hype is on UConn right now. There's no reason for them to not walk away from this tournament without the national championship. There's no reason. Now, I do believe that the University of Miami is going to give them a run for their money. They're going to give them a run for their money. But I do believe that for that game, I believe that UConn will walk out with that victory. I believe Sonongo is going to go ham. I believe Jackson is going to go crazy. Now, Isaiah Wong has done amazing for the University of Miami in this tournament. I just don't think that it's going to be enough against this UConn team. I just don't see it. I don't see it. So I have the University of Connecticut winning their side. San Diego State and FAU. This one, I can't really call. But, of course, I'm going to have to. There is no sugarcoating over here. There's no tapping around. I have to pick a winner. And with that being said, I am going to go with call me crazy, but I'm going to go with FAU. I'm going to go with FAU to pull the ultra upset and play the University of Connecticut in the national championship game next Monday. That is my prediction. And then obviously, who do I have to win? I have UConn winning it all. I have UConn winning it all. And that would say a lot, because this will be the third coach in the program's history to have won a national championship. Jim Calhoun won his, I believe, in 99 against Duke. Kevin Ali won his, I forgot exactly which year was that he won his. I can't even remember who he beat, but I know he won one. And then Hurley will win his. So, yes, I have UConn winning the national championship on the men's side. Now let's get to the women. I'm much more excited for the women's Final Four. And you're about to find out why. You're about to hear it in my voice on why I'm so excited for the women's one. It was something that I said before that I'm going to get to right now. I believe that the women's Final Four is more intriguing this year than the men's Final Four. I can't recall the last time I can even say that. I honestly can't. Now, I can remember, what was it, 2008, when Candace Parker went up against Simone Augustus and Sylvia Fowles in the national championship game. That was an all-SEC championship game. That was, I think it was 2008, if I believe. It was Tennessee against LSU. You know what I'm saying? But I can't say that the Final Four for the women was more intriguing than the men's Final Four. Because again, that year you had Memphis, you had Kansas. I think UCLA made the Final Four that year. Now, this year, the women's Final Four, you have so many top-notch players in this Final Four, okay? Obviously, we all know who's the most popular star right now in women's college basketball, and that would be none other than Caitlin Clark. Just a few days ago, it was announced that she was the National Player of the Year. I have no problem with that. No problem with that. Last year, Aaliyah Boston won it from South Carolina, rightfully so. I picked her to win it last year, had no problem with it. She could have won it this year, and I wouldn't have had a problem. But what Caitlin Clark has done this season cannot go unnoticed. That young woman put up a 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament. She is the only player in college basketball history to have ever done that. I'm going to say that again. She is the only player in college basketball history to have recorded a 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament. She's the only player. Now, we've had some greats come across the NCAA tournament. We've had Michael Jordan. We've had Larry Bird. We've had Magic Johnson. We've had Grant Hill. We've had Vince Carter. We had Jay Williams, Shane Battier. The list goes on. Hell, I'll take it even a step further for girls because I don't want to leave them out. Maya Moore, Candace Parker, Shamiqua Holtzlaw, Lisa Leslie, Tina Thompson, Cheryl Swoops, Sabrina Ionescu for that matter. All of those names I just mentioned, not one of them has ever had a 40-point triple-double in an NCAA tournament. And this young woman, Caitlin Clark, is the only one that can say that she's done that. Now, a few episodes ago, I said that this woman, this young woman, is WNBA ready. She sure is. She sure is. And as an aside, I had Iowa coming out of their bracket. I was torn between them and Stanford. But at the end of the episode, after I was done recording, after I pressed that button to stop recording, the paper that I wrote everything down, I crossed out Stanford and I had Iowa. So this Final Four that we have here, you have Caitlin Clark from Iowa. You have Aaliyah Boston, South Carolina. You have Angel Reese, LSU, and then you got Virginia Tech. Now, yes, I did not have Virginia Tech coming out of their bracket. I actually had UConn coming out their bracket. But they disappointed me in the Sweet 16. Reason being was because they had a good lead against Ohio State. But one thing rendered them. Turnovers. There's no way you are going to get 20 turnovers in the first half and expect to win. That's just not going to happen. And that's what happened with UConn against Ohio State in the Sweet 16. Turnovers kicked their ass, and that's what got them out of the tournament. This was the first time since Lord knows how long. This was the first time, okay? This was the first time since 1985. And again, that was the year I was born. So that was 37, 38 years ago. That an Elite Eight did not have either Tennessee, UConn, or Stanford in it. And those are dominant programs. So for an Elite Eight to not have not one of those three teams in it, that tells you that I'm actually enjoying what's going on with women's college basketball. Because now it's giving other programs a chance to shine. South Carolina is predominantly the heavy favorite. This Iowa and South Carolina game is going to be box office. Now, I believe they played earlier this year. I believe they did. Don't quote me on that. I believe they did. I am so looking forward to this game. I am so looking forward to this game. That game is going to be box office. Who do I have to win? Obviously, I have South Carolina winning. I picked them to win the whole thing. I'm sticking with it. But I will say this, though. Caitlin Clark can't do it by herself. She can't do it by herself. She is going to have some support from her teammates. They can't have a performance. They cannot have a performance like they had in the Elite Eight against Louisville. They can't do it. They can't. They're going to need support from their bench. Because we know Caitlin's going to do her. We know Caitlin's going to do her. We know Monica is going to do her thing. We know Warnock is going to do her thing. So those three players we already know is going to do their part for Iowa. It's the rest of the players that's going to have to step up. Because South Carolina, their crew is deep. Very deep. You have a lot of people out there that say their bench could start for some programs. We know Aaliyah Boston is going to do her. We know that already. We know that already. There's no denying that. We know that South Carolina is fully stacked. We know Aaliyah Boston is going to put up her numbers. We know Cook gonna put up her numbers. Bria Beal, who I think, in my opinion, when you think of the Lady Gamecocks of South Carolina, obviously the head of the totem pole is Aaliyah Boston. And then you got Cook because they're the seniors. Bria Beal gets overlooked in that. And she's okay with that. She goes out there, she plays hard, she plays defense, she crashes boards, and she gets buckets. She's gonna do her thing. And then they got a bench. Yes, they have a bench. Johnson, Cardozo. That 6'8" frame, nobody on Iowa is gonna be able to deal with that. And then we got the coaching, and then we got the coaching aspect. I gotta go with Dawn Staley. Much respect to Iowa's coach. Much respect to her. But I'm going with Dawn Staley when it comes to which coach I trust in this situation. So, yes, I have South Carolina beating Iowa in the Final Four. And I want to say congratulations again to Caitlin Clark. I definitely have to congratulate her again because she's the first men or women in D1 history to have 900 points and 300 assists in a single season. So she's breaking records out the ass. She's hitting walk-off shots, putting 40-point triple doubles, and then having breaking numbers for total amount of points and total assists in a season. This young woman is a star. She is a star. She is a force to be reckoned with. And I'm going to say it again. She is WNBA ready now. Now, I get it. She's going to come back for her senior year. I get all of that. But baby girl is ready for the WNBA right now. She is so ready right now. Now, let's get to the other matchup. LSU versus Virginia Tech. Congratulations to Virginia Tech. I want to apologize to y'all because I felt that come Elite Eight time, y'all would go up against Geno Auriemma and the UConn Lady Huskies and get dog walked. Y'all didn't have to worry about that because they ain't even make it to the Elite Eight. But I don't want to take away from y'all performance in this tournament. Honestly, didn't really watch out as much this season, but in this tournament, yes, I have, and I have been impressed. I have very much been impressed what I've seen from this Virginia Tech team. Georgia Omori, hopefully I said her last name right. She is a stud. She is a stud. Elizabeth Keatley, she is a stud. Senior, she's going to the WNBA. She's going to be something special in the WNBA. I like this Virginia Tech team. But I love LSU just a little bit more. I love LSU just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm so excited for both these games. Like, the men's Final Four, I honestly could care less who wins. I mean, I'm going to watch because it's on Saturday. But me personally, I'm going to be more glued watching WrestleMania than watching those games. By the way, as an aside, I will be doing a WrestleMania prediction episode as well. So this is episode 287. Episode 288 will be my WrestleMania prediction episode. Do not forget to listen to that as well. But back to this. I am so excited for these women's Final Fours. I'm so excited. LSU got some studs over there. Obviously, Angel Reese transferred from the University of Maryland. I think they call her, they got a nickname for her. I forgot the nickname they have for her. I can't remember it right now, but they have a nickname for her. And Queen Bayou, I think her name is. I think that's her nickname. Rightfully so. She's earned it. But the way that she's been playing, this tournament, I'm very excited. Very much excited. Morris is no joke. And I actually think that Angel Reese, I think she wants to put up a better performance than she did. I think she's going to put up a better performance in the Final Four than she did in the Elite Eight, because she didn't shoot too well from the field in the Elite Eight. Most of her points came off of free throws. Now, yes, she can crash those boards. I will say that about her. She can crash those boards. I believe she had almost 20 in that Elite Eight. I could see her getting about 13 to 14 rebounds on Friday against Virginia Tech. And then we got to go with the coaching experience. We got to go with the coaching factor. I got to go with Kim Mulkey. She has experience. She has experience in these situations. She won a national championship with Baylor when she was coaching Brittany Griner. So she knows what it takes to not only win a national championship, but she knows how it takes to get there. So I have to go with her. So I'm going with LSU to beat Virginia Tech in the first national semifinals of the women's NCAA tournament. And then I have South Carolina beating Iowa and theirs. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with an all-SEC national championship game. And trust me, Dawn Staley wanted that. Because when they interviewed her after South Carolina beat Maryland in the Elite Eight, after she was done being interviewed, she basically shouted out LSU and said, let's make it an all-SEC national championship game. I would love to see it. I would love to see Angel Reese be able to try to redeem herself against South Carolina after the matchup that she had against them on Super Bowl Sunday, which she didn't play too well. She can try to redeem herself for that. So I'm kind of hoping that will happen. Me personally, Iowa and South Carolina, for me, that's national championship worthy. But unfortunately, the way the brackets were set up, we didn't get that. So here we are. So yes, I believe that the women's Final Four is very much intriguing than the men's. You got nothing but All-Americans or close to National Players of the Year in the women's Final Four. You can't say that for the guys. There's no five-star players in the NCAA Final Four for the men. But there damn sure some five-star women in this one. So we're going to give it up to the ladies for this thing here. So, shout out to all the teams. Shout out to both Final Fours. Shout out to both of them. You know what I'm saying? I didn't go to college, so I wouldn't know what it takes, especially around March time, to get yourself ready for these games. I don't know what that feels like. But I will say this. I've been watching college basketball for so many years. I remember the Fab Five from back in the day. I remember UNLV with Larry Johnson, Stacey Ogden, and Greg Anthony. I remember this. I remember when Arkansas beat Duke. I remember when UCLA beat them the following year. I remember these things. I remember. I'm very much looking forward to these Final Fours on the men's side and the women. But I would be remiss if I say I'm very much intrigued and looking forward to the women's Final Four than I am the men's Final Four. If you don't like it, hey, it is what it is. Sorry, but not sorry. Now let's get into some baseball. The Major League Baseball season starts this week. Thursday to be exact. And of course, for those of y'all that have been following me for so long, which I appreciate, I think y'all know by now that I am a diehard New York Yankees fan. Our season opens up on Thursday against the San Francisco Giants. But listen, man. Our pitching rotation is already in trouble. Aside from Gerrit Cole and Nestor Cortez, our other three starters are already on the injured list. Carlos Rodon, Luis Severino, and Frankie Montas. All three of them was already on the injured list. Well, Montas, he's already done for the season. I forgot what his injury is, but the other two, they're on the injured list. Now, I don't know how long they're going to be on that injured list, but come on, man. What are we doing here? Montas had a right shoulder injury, and he had surgery, so basically he's out for the year. Come on, man. What's up with this, man? But again, I don't want to rain on the party yet. We haven't even done one game yet, but I'm very much looking forward to seeing what my Yankees do this season. It was announced that we're going to give the young rookie, we're going to give him a go at shortstop. Volpe is his name. He went from number 77 in spring training to number 11. But I like what he did, though. He made a call to Brett Gardner and asked permission to wear that number because that was his number when he played. And obviously, he gave him his blessing because he's allowing him to wear it. So I appreciate the fact that he even reached out to a former Yankee to ask him that. We still got Anthony Rizzo. We still got Judge. Do I need him to get 60-plus home runs this year? No. He's our new captain. He got a boatload of money. Let's see what happens with this Yankees team this year, okay? With that being said, I am going to give my predictions for who I think will win their respective divisions. I'm not going to dive getting too in-depth with baseball, but I am going to give y'all my predictions for who I think is going to win their divisions. Obviously, our division, obviously, I'm going to say us. Who are we kidding here? And the NL Central, I am going to go with the Minnesota Twins. I tell you what, though. Carlos Correa, he got some making up to do with them Twins fans. You were supposed to be a Met and then wind up going back to Minnesota. You got some making up to do, man. You better have you a stellar year this year. And then, of course, in the AL West, you got to go with those damn Astros. They're the defending champs, so, I mean, you got to go with them. You know, you got to go with them. Do I trust anybody else in that division? I mean, I'm sure Seattle will give them a run this year. I believe Texas will give them a run this year. I'm interested to see what Jacob DeGrom will do in Texas now that he's no longer a Met. I mean, I'm sure he just went for the money. I don't really expect much from Texas, but hey, he got his bag. So it is what it is. I'm eager to see what happens with the Angels. This is Ohtani's, I mean, I don't want to jinx it and say this is his last year, but he is a free agent after this year. And in this year alone, he's going to make $64 to $65 million in 1 year. This is his last year, possibly in Anaheim. Mike Trout, is he gonna help get this Angels team to the postseason? Finally, you know, he had some success in the World Baseball Classic, but World Baseball Classic and MLB postseason is two different animals. Is you gonna do something for your Angels team? Only time will tell. And the National League East, that's going to be very interesting. You got Atlanta, you got the Mets, you got the Phillies. It's those three teams, in my opinion, that's going to be gunning for the division. The Mets, they lost Diaz, though, for the season when he hurt himself celebrating with, I believe it was Puerto Rico. I think he hurt himself during a celebration and the World Baseball Classic. So he's out for the season. They still got Scherzer. They picked up Verlander from Houston. Man, let me tell you something, man. For the NL East, I honestly don't know who I got coming out that division. I could say a team now, and then obviously later on after recording, I could sit down and think about it and say, oh no, I think that team is going to win. But you know what? I can't even say I'm going to be biased because I could really care less for the Mets, but they are from New York. So I'm going to say the Mets are going to win the division. I say the Mets are going to win the division, and I believe the Braves and the Phillies, one of them will get a wild card. But then again, I don't know. I got to check the playoff format this year. I need to check the format this year. Are they doing the same thing like they did last year? Or are they going back to the old format? I have to check. National League Central, that division is for the St. Louis Cardinals for the taking. So I believe St. Louis wins that division. So Brianna Nicole and Vicky D from What Do Women Know About Sports podcast. Yeah, I'm shouting y'all out. I got your Cardinals, your 3-1-4 boys, to win the division of the National League Central. And then in the National League West, it's either the Dodgers or the Padres. Now, with the season that the Dodgers had last year, to have 111 wins and to get dog walked against the Padres in the division series is embarrassing. The Dodgers got some serious, serious making up to do. But see, here's the problem. They lost a lot of key players doing that as well. They lost Turner. They lost Cody Bellinger. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with this Dodger team? They lost Justin Turner as well. They lost Gavin Lux with an ACL injury. So this Dodgers team is going to look very different. Now, yeah, the cornerstones is Kershaw, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. I get all of that. But this Padres team is looking dangerous. And if you don't think for one split second that they're still not hungover and still booming from what they did last year, even though they didn't make the World Series, but they made the NLCS, they still got Machado. In fact, they just read him up. You still got Soto. You know what I'm saying? Tatis is coming back at the end of April from a suspension. They just picked up Bogarts from the Red Sox. This Padres team is going to be very interesting this season. And I'm going to compare them to the Buffalo Bills, right? I'm going to compare them to the Buffalo Bills for this reason. When the football season started last year, this past season, it was a lot of hype around Buffalo, myself included, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I thought that they would dethrone the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl. There are a lot of people out there right now that are riding high on this San Diego Padres team, rightfully so. I'm not even sitting here saying, oh, it's a mistake to do it. No, it's not. No, it's not. They have climbed the ranks. There was a time that they were the laughing stock of that division. Now look at them. They're damn near neck and neck to fight for that division with the LA Dodgers. But if you're asking me now on who I have winning that division, I'm still going to go with the Dodgers. I still say the Dodgers. But do I think the Padres will make the playoffs? Yes, I do. So obviously, I have the Dodgers and the Padres making the playoffs. Now, these are early predictions. It can change. It can change. American League Championship Series. Obviously, I'm going to say my Yankees. And obviously, unfortunately, I have to say those Astros as well, because they still got the same squad, unfortunately. The only person they really lost was Justin Verlander. That's all they lost. That's all they lost. They still got Altuve. Dustin Baker, last I checked, is still in manager. Their pitcher rotation is still top-notch. Their bullpen is still top-notch. They didn't lose nothing. All they lost was an arm. And they still got enough. They still got enough in that bullpen, and they still got enough in that rotation to get them past to get them in position to possibly go back-to-back. So I got the Yankees and the Astros in the ALCS this year. And in the National League, I'm going with the Braves. And I'm going with you know what? I'm going to switch it up on this one. I'm going to go with the Braves and I'm going to go with the Padres. I'm going to go with the Braves and the Padres. Because something is telling me that window with the Dodgers, the window was closing. Now, there was years where they was close to winning the World Series, and they couldn't do it. Then we get to 2020, which was the pandemic year. Hook or crook, they still won the championship. You know, it's a lot of people out there that like to crucify these teams for winning in half seasons. You still got to strap up. You still got to perform. But then what happened after that? Nothing. For me, that window was kind of closing for the Dodgers. Now, yes, I did pick them to win the division. But I think they don't go to the American... I don't believe that they go to the League Championship Series this year. I think the Padres go again. I believe that the San Diego Chargers go... San Diego Chargers, pardon self. I believe the San Diego Padres go back-to-back years. Now, my World Series pick. It's fitting that I'm going to say this matchup because it just so happens there's a lot of Atlanta rappers right now that got something to say about New York rappers. Shout out to my man Big Gip from the Dungeon Family, Goody Mob. You know, I remember Soul Food, Cell Therapy. You know what I'm saying? Sky High. I get all that. But you got a real problem with the God MC, Jay-Z, for some reason. T.I. been calling out New York rappers for verses for Lord knows how long. I didn't forget when Busta called you out and you turned into a little bitch. You said you wanted the New York rapper. A New York rapper called you out. You didn't do it. But that's neither here nor there. That's a conversation for another day. I got New York. Yes, I'm going to be emotional. Yes, I'm going to be biased. Do I think our rotation is better than the Astros? Of course not. Of course not. But I got to ride with my Yanks until the ship sink. I'm sorry, I just have to do it. So I have my Yankees coming out of the American League, and I have the Braves coming out of the National League, which leads us to Atlanta versus New York in the Fall Classic. And with that being said, I have us winning the World Series. Now, Aaron Judge, I appreciate what you've done for us. You have your own chamber at Yankee Stadium. You just received this big bulk of money. You have also been announced as our captain. I will not be calling you captain until you get us a World Series championship. Can't do it. I refuse to call you captain until you get us one of those championships. We have 27 in total. I was alive for 5 of them. I need you to get me this 6th one. You understand what I'm saying? I need you to get me this 6th one. You got the tools. You can do it. So just make it happen. Just make it happen. So yes, I have my Yankees beating the Dodgers in the 2023 World Series to win our 28th World Series. There you have it. That's my baseball talk. But I got to go back to college basketball. I forgot to truly congratulate Virginia Tech, the women of Virginia Tech. I want to do it the proper way. Because what they did this year was so amazing. They won their first conference tournament title. Okay? They were a number one seed in the tournament. They never did that before. They made their first Elite Eight. They never did that before. So obviously, this is going to be their first Final Four. Congratulations to them on that. They had a historic year. But again, like I said earlier, with that being said, with all of that that they've done, their season will come to an end on Friday when they take on when they go against LSU. There you have it. Now, before I go, because I don't want to carry on this long episode, I want to say congratulations to some very, very, very deserving people. I want to say congratulations to Dwayne Wade. I want to say congratulations to Dirk Nowitzki. I want to say congratulations to Pau Gasol. I want to say congratulations to my GOAT of coaches in the NBA, Greg Popovich. And I also want to say congratulations to Becky Hammon. Those 5 members will be inducted into the 2023 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame this year. So congratulations to those five. That is my shout out for this episode. Congratulations to all five of them. And I find it fitting that three of the greatest international players that this game has ever seen makes it in the same year. Dirk, one of the greatest international players of all time. Some got him in the top five. I wouldn't even argue with you. You know what I'm saying? Pau Gasol. We know what he's done in the NBA, and we also know what he's done internationally with the Olympics, with the medals that he's won. And let's not forget, I know people don't want to admit this, but he saved Kobe's career. We cannot ignore that. Without those two rings that Pau Gasol got when he went to the Lakers, Kobe would only have three of them. God bless the dead. We love you and we miss you. But we got to call a spade a spade. Tony Parker. One of the most underrated players this game has ever seen, in my opinion. I've said this probably last year when that NBA 75 was announced. I felt that he should have been on there. I felt Tony Parker should have been on that NBA 75. Now, the 50 that was on the original list, you can't take them off. But to add 25 names, I believe he should have been one of those names. I'm sorry. And the name that I said he should have went over was Dame Lillard, and I stand by that. But of course, you know, the amazing shots that he do, the logo shots, Dame time, all that shit, you know, they put him on the list. But see, I go off of that and also postseason. What's your postseason success? Last I checked, Dame ain't never been to the finals. Last I checked, he had one conference finals appearance where he dropped the ball when the Warriors didn't have Kevin Durant. He had four straight games where he had a big lead in the fourth quarter and he lost it. Aside from those two walk-offs against OKC and Houston, what has he done in the postseason? I'll say this again, nothing. It's a lot of Dame time in the regular season. You know when you look at a watch and them hands is clicking and they ticking? Tick, 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 tick. It's a lot of that going on in the regular season. But when it's postseason time, when you look at that watch and you look at them hands, those hands is frozen. The battery must be dead. The clock is not working. But anyway, this ain't about Dame. It's about Tony Parker. So congrats to him on making the Hall of Fame. Again, Greg Popovich, I know how I feel about him. For me, he's my GOAT. Now, some may say Phil Jackson, rightfully so. 11 championships, 3 three-peats. I understand that. But it's easy to do that when you're coaching Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Shaq, Kobe. It's easy to do that when you're coaching those guys. Don't want to rain on his parade. But hey, it is what it is. And then old Becky Hammond. Oh, Becky Hammond. I love me some Becky. Now, this is a Becky that I love. That's a Becky with some good hair. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Congratulations to you, Becky Lynch. I'm Becky Lynch. Wow, I'm thinking of WrestleMania. Wow. Congratulations, Becky Hammond. You are one of the greatest WNBA players that this game has ever seen. You had an amazing run with the New York Liberty, and you also had a great run with the San Antonio Silver Stars before they moved to Vegas. And it just so happens you are now the head coach of those Las Vegas Aces, and you're also the reigning defending WNBA champions as well. Congratulations to you on making the Basketball Hall of Fame. So there you have it. It is a wrap for this episode. Once again, I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. But before I go, aside from all the positive stuff that I've just said, on a serious note, I want to give a RIP, rest in peace, to the six victims of that heinous shooting at that Nashville school in Tennessee. It's just horrible, just horrible. Three adults died. Three kids. These kids didn't even live to see their 10th birthday. Just shameful. Just heartbreaking. Just disgusting. You're not safe in the church. You're not safe on the trains. You're not safe in the school. You're not safe anywhere at this point. So before I go, I want to give a moment of silence to the six lives that was lost in the Nashville school in Tennessee. RIP. Again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podbean. You can also download Anchor. Yes, you can download Anchor. Your boy is on there as well. And you can find me on social media, Facebook, Dre Day, Instagram, Dre Day 1985, Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and on Twitter, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. And in closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 287 is done. Have a blessed weekend. I believe Easter is this weekend. I'm not sure. Is Easter this weekend? Is Easter this weekend? I'm not really sure. Let me check. No, Easter is not this weekend. Easter is August 9th. No. So no, it's not Easter this weekend. But I will say, this weekend is the first of the month. Shout out to Bone Thugs. So to everyone out there, have a blessed, safe weekend. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.